to part two of our Saw ranking video. I think we're on our last five.
Yep, we're on our top five Saw movies of the franchise. I am very interested to see where this conversation goes because I think we had the same movies in our bottom five. We just had two of them in like different spots somewhere between 6 through 10. But I think our bottom five both included 5, 6, 7, Spiral and Jigsaw, correct?
5, 6, 7, Spiral and Jigsaw is correct, yes.
Yes, so our top five is the same top five,
yep.
But I am pretty sure they're in very different spots.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where we land.
Where we land. And this is after I did a quick readjustment to this list during our last chat. As I was talking through some justification, I realized that a movie needed to move around. So it actually kind of changed my bottom five and my top five with the switch I made.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to see where we fall on that. With that, the adjustment I made is actually for the movie I have in my number five spot. I moved Saw X to number five.
Okay.
I originally had Saw X in my bottom five. I think I had it at like 7.
Okay.
But as I was talking through 5 and 6, I realized that I had to put X above 5 and 6.
Okay.
But I couldn't move it up to like top 3 because those were kind of solid for me.
Gotcha.
So I've got Saw X at number 5. I wrote it down on my list as Mexico Showdown. That's how I remember, you know, like what it was what about happened. That movie that made me like it. And I really liked that it was, I liked where it fell in the Jigsaw timeline.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily like a full sequel. It's not necessarily a prequel to all of the Saws, but it gives you this in-between look of when John was getting to Terminal, how his determination and persistence also increased his desperation, and how that fueled the creation and further birth of Jigsaw.
Yeah.
So I think I bumped it up because of like some personal connections I could understand with his desperation and how I've witnessed that desperation personally in family life. And so I could absolutely understand how him having already had some jigsaw tests out of his system. He had already done, you know, a little bit of jigsawing before this point.
Yeah.
Reached this point of desperation, went for this remedy in Mexico to find out it was a sham. And then to see his response to escalating that jigsawism, so to speak. It was just a very logical set of tests to me, for him, for John Kramer.
Sure.
So I hate to say I was happy to see these people in the tests because you don't want to, you know, think of it in that way. But I was ready for him to get some sort of redemption and revenge on this group of people, because I understood his like heartbreak and letdown and fury that he probably had to have thinking that he wasn't the only one they've done this to in that depth of desperation.
Yeah.
I liked that this movie also kind of had you on the edge at a point where you almost thought like he wasn't going to be the one to succeed. Like, for a moment, I was like, oh, no, like, how's he getting out of this, you know?
You're talking about in the, like the bloodboarding scene? Or?
Yeah, like, how the tables turned on him old girl ended up finding her way. Then I was just like, oh, man, like, but I liked that the movie took me there. Because all these other movies, you know, Jigsaw's going, whoever the killer is, they're going to make it. You know, they're running the tests, and they're set up a certain way to either be one or not one, and there really aren't any stakes there for the person playing Jigsaw.
Yeah.
But there were some stakes here for a moment where it was like, ah, shoot. Like, they caught him. Mm-hmm. How's he getting out of this? But then you're like, I know he's Kramer. He gonna have he got a plan. He set this up with contingencies in place.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But you couldn't have guessed what those contingencies were until they played out. So I just really liked that it took some of the predictability out of it that you normally get in a Jigsaw movie, where it's just like blood, gore, test, people die, Jigsaw prevails. How are they going to prevail this time and move on? But you couldn't really plan for what contingencies to expect for him. And so I really liked that piece. I liked that you still got a little bit of sentiment out of him when they brought in the other person from the blood board. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I liked the balance of emotions that Saw X got out of me. And now that I talked it through, I'm like, shoot, doesn't need to be higher on my list, but I don't know. But it's in my top five. So, I mean, it did make my top five. I don't know. As I move on, it may move up to top three now that I've talked it through. But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I have to watch it again, too, because, I mean, there was a lot I liked about it as well. But
yeah, so that's what I have in number five, Saw X. Okay. And that's after pulling it up from slot seven after our last chat.
Very interesting. And I agree with almost everything you said there. But all right, you're done talking
about
number
five? I'm done. Yeah.
All right. Solid. So for number five, I have Saw 4. Saw 4 is actually a cool movie. Like, there's not a whole lot I really dislike about it. It's just the fact I have to have a number five. So
right. They can't all be at the same spot.
Saw 4 is a number five. But, you know, I will say, as far as like all of the elements that are just kind of hallmarks of a Saw movie, you know, the traps, the mystery, trying to kind of, you know, piece everything together, figure out what's going on, and then like the twist. I mean, I don't think the twist in this one is as awe-inducing as like other twists we've had in other Saw movies. But one thing that was in Saw 4 to me that I think kind of elevated it a little bit was there's just this one nugget in there that I really liked when they get a little more into John's history, and they show what motivated him to even start doing these tests when Cecil runs into Jill and closes the door on her. Mm-hmm. And of course she's like carrying John's child, and it leads to you know, her losing the baby, and you know, he's distraught and vengeful really. And we kind of see what's interesting about it to me is we kind of see John experience a lot of the turmoil that some of his test subjects experience. And to me, it kind of highlights a bit of the hypocrisy, because it's, you know, we see John's grief lead to kind of distance between him and Jill. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's had people go through tests for this very same shit.
Right.
And he's like, but at the same time, it like him being on that path leads him to, you know, testing Cecil. And I don't know. I just felt like it was, is it a cheap way to keep Tobin Bell present even though he died? Maybe. But I also felt like that piece of backstory, like in that flashback, to me it just felt like it fit very well. Like it fit where John would have came from to me. Right. And I felt like that was probably as far as we ever needed to go in John's history to really understand
his trigger.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what kind of had me putting Saw 4 above some of the other ones that were lower on my list, because I felt like that did add a little bit of enrichment to Jigsaw's story. And as far as the rest of the movie, though, I felt like Rig was being treated very unfairly. I just felt like it was just fucked up that Rig was almost being punished for giving a fuck. And not that that's a problem with the movie at all, because it's like the thinking of the people that are like putting their test subjects through these trials, they're already fucked up mentally anyway. So it's like their whatever logic they use to justify it is already pretty messed up. But another element I like too is that Riggs' trials were on some level almost a recruiting tool. Like, for the first time, you're seeing in real time, like, what one of these people, what they do to kind of, in real time, like, radicalize, like, a potential test subject and bring them on to their, or like, have them become more sympathetic to their cause. Because Riggs running into a lot of despicable people going through this shit. And so there's also that element too that's kind of interesting that hasn't really been there. So I don't know. I might have Saw 4 a little low for what I did like about it. But I think there's something with the other entries that maybe I don't know, for whatever reason, like, they're just a cut above this one. But I like 4 a lot. But it's at my number 5.
Well, okay. I have Saw 4 in my number 4.
Okay.
For a lot of what you talked about, I liked that it was a test of Riggs' ability to have restraint. I wrote that down. I think I had said in our last call, like, I had to write down kind of like little phrases or keywords to help me remember the main plot of each Saw as I was ranking them. So for this one, I wrote it as Riggs sit down.
Riggs sit the fuck down.
Yeah, that was my keyword of, like, you know, the whole theme of the movie is if Riggs just sat himself down somewhere, the people at the end, Matthews could have been rescued. Yeah. I mean, I don't know where that would have put Hoffman, because Hoffman stuck himself in there. But, like, the lawyer guy, I mean, like, he just needed to go with his wife to her mom's house.
Yeah.
And have some restraint and, like, not give a fuck for once. And the fact that he could not do that, again, the humanist I am, I completely understood.
Like, yeah, that's the thing.
It's like, how could you not want to do something about it? Right. Even if it's not your case, it's not your... You don't know these people. You don't know the outcome, the result of what you're doing. You're seeing people who need to be saved and or not saved. And you're going to do whatever you feel is right in the moment because you're a person of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, that resonated with me because I'm like, yeah, I may have done the same. It's like, I could go, chill, take these vacation days, or, like, wait a minute. We got, Matthews is still out there.
Yeah. And it's someone who considered a friend. Him.
Exactly.
It's like, if you know there's a possibility that, you know.
You could help, you know, recover them safely.
It's just unfortunate that impulse is what killed them.
Yeah, what killed, 10 seconds. If he was just a little slower.
That's the thing about these Saw movies, man. Like, you have to go against your instincts.
Yes.
You have, that's the,
whatever, like, thing. Logic is telling you to do, you got to do the opposite, and that's the better option.
Yes. All the time.
Yeah, so I did put it in 4 because it is top of the list worthy. I thought it was just a great struggle for Rig to, you know, be the good guy and the bad guy in some of the tests, you know. Yeah. It's like, you know, he, like, the first test there in his apartment, his nature is like, you know, save the chick. I don't care about whatever the pictures were showing she was. I don't even know what her crime or sin was. Like, I don't know what the pictures were trying to tell us. She was a prostitute or what.
Right, right.
But, you know, he's like, I gotta help her. I don't know who she is, but I gotta help her.
In his mind, it's like, whatever she did isn't worthy of death.
Of that, exactly. But
or
then,
any kind of torture.
But then he gets to the hotel, and he's like, oh, no, I will set this test this up. Guy, this dude is despicable.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna leave him here alive to do this to more people. So he actually forced him through that test to help assist his whatever demise that was.
Yeah.
You know, so that was kind of like good guy, bad guy decision making right there.
But that's like, that's what's also kind of, God, man, like, this is the hard thing about like these last few movies is like, they're so, for me, the separation is just, it's little things, honestly, that's mm-hmm. separating them. Because I do like what you just brought up, though, because to me it just highlights kind of the moral flexibility that somebody might have depending on what information they have about someone. So it's like just Rig submitting himself to that with the that fat dude that was like doing all the wild shit.
Like that.
It's like
assaulter. Like, I don't even think he was like a pedophile. He was just nasty.
But it's like the lack of moral consistency can be exploited to kind of reel you in to like a radical worldview.
Yeah.
And I think that's what perhaps Hoffman saw the potential in him to do that.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, like,
it's
again,
like you care so much that you also feel like there are some people who are just not worthy of good.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Because you are so much a carer of people. Some people just don't deserve to be people.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely get that. Like, those are the ones where, like, you could recruit me.
Yeah, right.
It's like, I would be on board for that type of movement. Kind of like how we were talking about in Spiral and how he wanted to attack the system.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's like, there are certain missions in there against certain groups and types of people where you're like, oh, they need to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see how easy it is to find somebody to jump on board with you as Jigsaw if those are the people you're going after.
Right.
So to see Rig in that situation... And he didn't even really hesitate to be like, oh, this is my test, is to put you through that after what all this evidence put towards me. Like,
right. And if you're, I mean, if you're so much of an empath, like, and you care so much about people, when you see that there are people that are only out there to do harm, it's like you want to see, you want to see justice on probably an equivalent scale,
right,
if your level of care is like at that intense of a level.
Right, like you're making the decision that's going to benefit the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
The greater amount of people who will benefit from whatever choice you make in that situation is where you're going to go when you're an empath.
Yes.
And in that moment, that one guy going through that one test saved everybody else who was going to walk through the doors of that slum hotel.
Sure, sure.
And he just, you know, salvaging that one man's life was going to be the demise of many other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's why it was number four on my list. I had to put it in, you know, close to the top.
Cool.
Because I liked that approach. Like you said, it was kind of like, this is what the recruitment side of Jigsaw could look like.
Mm-hmm.
And it made sense.
Yeah. Because it's something we never quite seen. Like, we've seen someone go through a test, and like Amanda, and we've seen in flashback, like, Jigsaw, like, having conversations with her. But we never saw, like, in real time,
how she flipped to being a victim of a test to, like, work. I want to help you in this mission.
And I think this was kind of a glimpse into, like, a way that someone could get pulled in.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my number four is Saw X. Yeah. So we swapped.
So we swapped those, and we have the same top three in there somewhere. We have
the same top three. So my number four is Saw X, and I put this at number four. Well, let me go back, because when I heard there was going to be a Saw X, I thought, oh no. And I'm like, okay, Tobin Bell's back. What the hell are y'all doing?
He's been dead.
Like, what are we doing? Like, is this going to be another Jigsaw situation?
Right.
But what was refreshing to me was that we really just followed John the entire time in Saw X. So we really, it allows the audience to just kind of sit down and be with John through this journey.
And to see who he was as a man.
Yeah.
Too.
And I thought that was very refreshing if they were going to do something like that. And so it really contributed to just that movie having a very different vibe for like maybe the first third to maybe a half.
Almost
of it.
First half. Yeah. We were both very engrossed in just
following
John, his story. And we were just like, wait, I remember we were both, why am I actually really liking this?
I was so into it. I was like, oh, shit. Okay. Like, I don't mind this.
Right.
So I thought that was good. And then this was like, the Saw franchise has always had despicable characters in it that I didn't mind seeing harmed. But this was the first movie to be where I was like, these people have to die.
They have to.
Maybe go. Not all of them, but this Cecilia bitch
all of them.
Has
Cecilia
to fucking
especially.
Go.
But, I mean, me understanding what even brought John to Mexico, when that stuff flipped, and they were all so convincing.
Yes.
And then you're like, wait, what? I was like, they gotta go.
They have to
go. And they've done this to how many people?
Yeah. Yeah, so, it was a surprisingly, it surprisingly engrossed me, and I love watching Tobin Bell in it. I mean, I know Jigsaw is a very flawed, beyond flawed character. saying flawed is just not even doing it justice, but he's a character that has a lot of fucking problems, but, for whatever reason, I really felt for him in this movie, even though he's a very fucked up individual. I think Tobin Bell, just as an actor, I guess, he just allows you to have sympathy for a madman like that for just a little bit. And I like watching it. And I think on some level, the writers understood it's hard to generate a lot of suspense in certain situations when on some level your movie is a prequel and you know John doesn't die until the third movie.
Right.
But in that scene where you kind of see the tables starting to appear to start to turn on John, and they're going to put him in that waterboarding trap or bloodboarding trap, it's like right away, I mean, there's no suspense there because you know John is gonna survive this. But when they bring the boy in, it like presents a different level of threat.
You're like, what's gonna happen? Because
you've never seen a kid in a trap,
right?
So I was already, I'm like worried, like, first of all, what is this? Like, I don't want to see this kid go through, like...
Right, I don't want to see this kid of, like, fail in a trap.
I don't want to see him getting impaled or anything. It's like, you just don't want to see...
Like, heartstrings immediately.
Yeah, so it's like, that was just a great way to kind of, like, solve the suspense problem with that. Because now you're worried for the kid.
You're invested for this child,
So, I thought that was cool. And it was kind of, like, a little heartwarming, too. Because it's like... The kid doesn't want to see John.
Yeah, the kid, like, John tells him, like, just don't do this. Like, listen to me. Yeah. He knows it's his contingency. John knows how this is supposed to work. Yeah,
but he can't say anything.
And the kid's like, I don't care. Like, you help me, I'm trying to help you, you know?
Right.
I thought that, I loved that helped bring out the human element in Kramer. Like, Kramer is not just all monster.
Yeah.
You know, and then it made you also think, now I want to move this shit up on my list. But it made you also think of like, man, you know, he was supposed to be a dad. Like Kramer was supposed to have a son.
Good point.
And so you see him with this kid and you see how he was able to kind of switch off the jigsaw and turn on John Kramer to save this little boy. And you're like, man, he would have been a great fucking dad. You know, you think like, this is Gideon to him in this situation. And he didn't have an opportunity to save his own child. Mm-hmm. So, but he has a shot here to keep this innocent kid alive and safe. And it's at John Kramer's hands, right? It's in his hands.
Yeah.
So it became less about Kramer and more about this little boy cannot die. Mm-hmm. That was why his contingency had to work. And that was where that determination really kicked into high gear and turned off from like, I'm in this for revenge and they scammed me and I'm going to, you know, my cancer's still here. And none of that mattered in that moment. It was about that little boy, not about Amanda, not about anything else. And it's like, it made me think of like, man, this is like, he's fighting for his son's life in his mind.
Yeah.
And I like that piece of how you could kind of empathize with him there. Now I'm like, shoot, does it need to be at 5 on my list? Fuck, but there's only so many places it could be.
No, but that's a good point, though. I think that, I think in what you just said kind of encapsulates what this movie added to the franchise, and it just gave John a little more humanity, even though we know
like how much more there is to come. but
it's like
in that moment
you see like the human inside for a little bit in that movie, and I thought that was cool.
I like it being in spot 4. I'm gonna leave mine in spot 5, but
yeah,
I like it being in spot 4.
All right, top 3.
It's my turn.
It is your turn.
Okay. I wanted to put this lower on my list because of characters in this movie. Mm-hmm. But Saw 2 is at number 3.
Okay.
Although I hate old whatever his name is. The dude, the needle pit asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't stand the characters in the house or in the test of Saw 2.
I can't remember that character's name.
I can't either. But I like the story of Saul too, so that's why it kept its spot in the top 3.
Mm-hmm.
I had to set aside my feelings about the way they wrote these characters, and put it in top 3. And I don't know. I liked that they found a way to continue from the first Saul. Give you an explanation of, you know, okay, he can't do this by himself. Who's in it? It starts you on the path of like, Jigsaw is a movement.
Yeah.
And not just a person. Mm-hmm. So for that, I just think it deserves top 3 spot. I, as much as I hated the characters, I know they had to be written that way to deliver the story. The way that it went, because we kind of needed them to like not get along for that to go how it went.
Yeah.
For them to end up in the room where they ended up, for the boy to make it out and end up in the safe. I loved how Kramer was like dropping all the clues, because this is like our first, this is our first look at how Kramer really works.
Yep.
Because the first Saw, everything was already in place, and so we're kind of just going along with this mystery and figuring out like what this premise is, what this Jigsaw guy is about, and figuring out, you know, clues along the way with the with Gordon and Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And so 2 is like our first look at Kramer delivering like his thought process.
Yeah, because we spent a good chunk of that first Saw film thinking, like, from like a a midpoint. Like, we're thinking it's Zip that's doing
exactly. We're not thinking that Jigsaw is the cancer-stricken patient.
Yeah.
You know, we've forgotten about that dude pretty much. He was just like a throwaway character to us as viewers. He was just a patient that Gordon was treating. Mm-hmm. And Gordon is a cheating husband, and that's why he's in this test. But we weren't thinking about the patient as a villain. Mm-hmm. We were thinking of of Zep, but at the time, you know, we were trying to figure that out. But like, this is Saw 2 is the first movie where we're getting a look at how Kramer thinks, how he comes up with his plots. The clue, like, you start to understand and get familiar with, like, figuring out his clues. Mm-hmm. This is where we start figuring out, like, okay, whatever you think you should do the opposite. Like, this is our first opportunity to, like, start really understanding, like, how these things can be winnable. Mm-hmm. If Kramer himself is behind the setup.
Yeah.
Of course, because if a man is behind it, there ain't no winning. But so I really liked that this was our first experience with that in the franchise. So that's why I put it in the top three. But I couldn't put it in, you know, the first or second slot because, God, some of those characters were just painful to have to deal with. They were intolerable.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. For my number three, I settled on putting Saw 2 here also.
Ha!
Because I wanted to put it in number 2 so bad, but I'll explain why I think I ended up putting it in number 3 when I talk about the next one. But Saw 2 to me is really good. I remember my first time watching it, I just loved, like, I love the twist in it. I think it's one of my favorite twists in the franchise. Just
really?
Once that safe opens up and Daniel's in there, and then we find out, like, everything they were watching was not live streamed or anything.
Right.
I thought that was amazing.
I'm writing this down because now I want to kind of get back to, like, what were some of our favorite twists in this franchise.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite twists for sure. I think also what I like about this one is, you know, after that first one, you see John get up in that bathroom and he, you know, delivers the game over.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, like, who is this guy?
And right.
Like,
yeah.
You get right in the Saw 2 and, like, they throw you right in
into
it. Like,
it, yeah.
And you, like, you see this kind of, this unassuming old man, but yet yielding all this power over the police because they're really at his mercy because of
right.
what they see on those monitors. And it's just a great setup for the rest of the film. But I do agree with you. I think that the characters going through the main game in the house, they're all a little thin, and I mean, you only have one character that's trying to, like, keep everybody kind of working together. I mean, Amanda, of course, but then Jonas, the black guy, he's, like, at least trying to...
Didn't realize his name was Jonas.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he's at least trying to keep everybody, like, hey, we gotta sort this out, like, play this game, and, you know, see what he wants us to see.
Yeah, we gotta stay level-headed.
Like, everybody's just so consumed with the idea they have this poison
reactionary running
their body right
logic.
Now, and they just do not want to take their time. And, I mean, they're all people that have been in the system anyway. So it's like you've got all of that baggage kind of working against them, and they're not even remotely trying to put their heads together to figure any of this shit out, which is, it's kind of frustrating for you as a viewer because it's like, God damn, you just want them to, like,
y'all just stop and think for a second.
Stop
shit.
And think, get your shit together.
Some teamwork, please.
But I thought Saw 2 was a really good follow-up. I feel like it was a sequel that just, it didn't just repeat the beats from the first movie. I feel like it kind of expanded things in a way that I felt like it elevated the franchise. So, yeah, I love Saw 2 a lot. Sometimes I struggle with, you know, putting it in that third spot, but I do think outside of, well, no, I'll get into that when we start talking about our number two slot. Okay. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I did not see Saw 2 being your number three, so.
2 is my number three.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. So then we must have the same, I think we have the same 2 and 1 then, because my number two is Saw 3.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember why I put it in number two. I ranked it second best. Looking at my notes. I liked Saw 3 because, again, it puts you another step deeper into Jigsaw as a very complex movement. Because, well, I'm trying to remember. I don't think we knew about Hoffman in 3.
No.
We didn't know about Hoffman in 3 until we saw 4. Yeah.
And then that doesn't even really get fleshed out until Saw 5.
Yeah, I remember why I put this in number 2. I liked that this was Amanda's test because this was the point where I like really started to hate Amanda. I was getting very frustrated with Amanda as a character. She was just too puppy dog-ish to Kramer. And I liked to see that Kramer was on to that. And he wasn't just having her as like this blind follower who was going to do what he said, but he even dying was able to see that she was fucking up his movement, making these unwinnable tests. And he's like, it's about time I put her in her place, but I'm going to give her one more chance to prove herself to me. So that's why I put it in 2, because between the first one of her being like an original just OG victim in the first test to now being this like devout blind follower, I feel like she took this transformation that was just not necessarily for the better of the Jigsaw legend. You know, because it sounds terrible, I do not condone violence in any way, but you can understand the Jigsaw movement. You can understand what Kramer is trying to do to people. Like when he doesn't call himself a murderer, it's rehabilitation, all of that. You're like, okay, that piece makes sense to him. And so he would need followers that were seeing it the same way. Mm-hmm. And Amanda was not that. Amanda never looked at it as rehabilitation.
You don't think so?
I don't think so, except maybe in Saw 1.
She viewed herself as rehabilitated.
Maybe in Saw 1, but I don't think she was fully rehabilitated, because if she was, she wouldn't have made the tests unwinnable. Hmm. It's like she had some sadistic pleasure she was getting out of being a part of this movement. And in that, she wasn't rehabilitated in that. Was she rehabilitated in like, oh, she's not an addict? Maybe, but we find out in this movie, she took one addiction and went to self-harm anyway. Like, she wasn't rehabilitated. And so, having said all of that, I thought it was just a very smart way to test her, like, loyalty to the Jigsaw movement, the Jigsaw mission, to the philosophy. Yeah. And she failed. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that.
On some level, knew she was going to fail.
You know, did the movie have some flaws? Yeah. I wasn't too crazy about like who the secondary subjects were, the husband and wife. I didn't really care about them at all. Jeff and old girl.
Yeah.
Lynn. Was her name Lynn? Yeah. I didn't care either way about them. Like, Lynn just felt very cold to me. I didn't really care about her as a person. She felt disconnected just from humanity to me, even from the beginning of like her and her affair with her lover. It's like, she don't even look like she's getting passion out of that. You know, so like I just had no connection to caring about what happened to her either way.
Well, oh, okay, I'll wait till I talk about it.
But, and then the husband's tests. I mean, I kind of like that his test was more a mental and emotional set of tests for him in this movie versus what we were used to out of the first two, where it was a little more violent, gory, physical, like, tests to the actual subjects. Mm-hmm. This is, I think, the first time we saw a test subject not being the recipient of, like, the pain or the physical teardown.
Yeah.
All of his teardown was just through willpower and having to face some very hard emotions. Mm-hmm. That was just as painful for him as if he was going to have to cut off a foot.
Yeah.
You know, on top of making decisions about people who had him in that mental struggle and emotional struggle. Mm-hmm. His test was, I have to battle my loss by making decisions about the people who caused my loss. And so I did like that piece. So I guess I cared more about him as a test subject than Lynn. And then just like that it was a madness test. So that's why I put it at number two, because it's pushing the franchise just a little further past one and two. We haven't fully gotten into the whole legacy of Jigsaw yet, but it was still one-upping itself in story. Mm-hmm. And I just think it did a little better of a job than two.
Okay. Yeah, I have Saw 3 at my number two as well. Sometimes, like, I remember when I was younger, having seen all these, and well, kind of like fresh off of viewing 3, I put it below 2. And I think it was really because just structurally, I thought like Saw 2 was just a better film. But then, like, watching it later on, like in adulthood, I think I give Saw 3 the slight edge, just because I feel like it has a little more heart than Saw 2 had. There was a little more that I could attach to certain characters. Like when you say you were emotionally detached from Lynn, I think it's probably because we see Jeff and Lynn coping in different ways after they both, you know, lost their son. I think Jeff, he kind of, well, it's hard to even say he's effectively coping, because he's neglecting
his other kid.
Yeah, he's neglecting his other kid. He's just absorbed with just the loss all the time, and he's he hasn't really fully accepted that as the reality, whereas Lynn just detaches from her marriage. And I think the reason she looked detached in that scene with that other guy is that she probably feels nothing for him. Like, this is just something she's doing as a way to escape
her husband's feelings. Also,
yeah, so
probably detached from her. Their relationship's already detached.
Yeah, so I feel like that's the reason she looks detached from life, because she is. It's like she's just, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And so I do like that Saw 3, you know, with the test subjects, I feel like there was effort put into kind of trying to have the audience to, you know, connect to something somewhat relatable there. Whereas, you know, in 2, like, nobody, like, we understood logistically why everybody was there, but in terms of just connecting with them as characters,
there was nothing.
So, 3,
all of them except the sun.
Yeah, really. That
could've,
was
could have failed and been gone, and I'd have been like, all right.
That was literally it. Yeah. Like Daniel and the. Yeah, you're really just invested in Daniel.
And maybe a little bit Amanda, because she was protecting Daniel.
Yeah, exactly. That was about it. So, yeah, like, I think three, in that sense, just had a little more heart and had a little more that was worthy of, like, character investment.
Yeah.
And I also like that it just felt like a very natural end to Jigsaw and Amanda's story. Because, like, when you look at those first three films, it almost feels like this evolution of Jigsaw and Amanda. And I thought it brought it to a satisfying end. And
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Do you think Jigsaw felt disappointed in Amanda having been, like, well, I was going to say his first recruit, but if we go down in the line and we get to Jigsaw, she's technically not his first recruit. I want to ignore Logan altogether. But do you think Jigsaw felt, Kramer felt disappointed that Amanda didn't live up to being, like, the protege he probably wanted her to be? Because he was giving her, like, this one last olive branch of, like, I really want to believe that you can deliver on my philosophy because I am dying and this has to continue. And he, you know, having seen all the movies now, of course, at the time in three, we didn't know everything that Kramer knew and had in place, but Kramer was already untrusting of Hoffman because he had the stuff in the box for Jill when we get later down the line. So it's like Hoffman already wasn't the protege that he was hoping to have. So do you think he was, like, disappointed that Amanda failed her test?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you can see in his reaction, it pained him to see her lose or fail, And, but he planned for her failure in a way. But
do you think he knew that he was also dying in this test?
Yeah.
Like, he knew that Jeff was going make the decision to take him out?
Well, I don't think he knew that for certain, but I think he was prepared for it. Because when Jeff cuts him with that saw, there's almost this glee in Kramer's face when it happens. It's really an odd reaction.
I don't know that I probably closed like my eyes when it happened, so I gotta go back and look.
It's like when Jeff starts picking up the saw, it's like, I don't know, it's like Kramer kind of has this, he already has this cynicism about humanity or human nature anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when Jeff picks up the saw, he's like, yeah, I know where this is going. Like, this is what I was anticipating anyway. And because of your actions, your wife is definitely going to have no hope of any medical intervention because her head's about to get blown off.
Because so, I didn't tell you that part. Yeah. I'm connected to your wife's survival.
It's
too.
Like, so you go ahead and do this. Here you go.
It's like, I could have told you that part, but that's guiding your decision. Yeah. You need to show you rehabilitated.
Yep.
And he wasn't.
Yep.
I feel like most of Jigsaw's tests were just, 98% of them were failures. Like, he rehabbed nobody.
Yeah, I have to really sit and go through.
Like, nobody who has gone through a test, the ones that didn't die. Like, I don't know that he rehabbed anybody.
Man, like, but then again, it's like, how many, there's not a gang of survivors of
Gordon
Jigsaw
and tests. The two boyfriends from 3D. The two boyfriends survived.
What?
Remember? In the opening test, the final chapter?
That's not a Kramer test, though.
I'm just talking across all the movies. Were there any rehabilitation?
Yeah, but you asked if Kramer rehabilitated anybody. You're thinking about just
No, I'm
his.
Just thinking across the whole franchise, was there any rehabilitation? I wasn't clear. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, no. I had none.
I guess not. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm none. From whoever survived. I'd love to know, well, they still got to do number one.
Yeah, we still got to do number one. It's kind of a giveaway now.
Yeah.
Both our number ones are Saw 1.
It's the first Saw. And it's, I mean, I feel like it's kind of a given because it's what started it all.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I'm just remembering my very first time watching it, and it was just something different. The twist was just, whoa. I will just always remember, like, when he got up off that floor.
Oh, yeah. I was,
the room was just like, what fuck?
When I, like, saw that.
Didn't see that coming.
As soon as that movie was over, I was like, I gotta tell everybody.
Yes. And I did. I watched it twice in the same night. The first time I watched it, I watched it again that same night because we told everybody in the dorm about it.
Yeah. I was like, this is crazy. And, like, watching it with somebody and you knowing.
And you know, and you can't say shit. You're like, hurry up, do the thing. Oh, my gosh. And then just the concept and the philosophy and the mystery of it. Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. I'll just preface this by saying, as general practice, I hate, like, when people talk about franchises or whatever. Or, like, they get into the rankings and all this shit. Like, I hate when people just say the original is the best just because it's where everything started.
Right.
I generally just hate that. But for this one, I rank Saw 1 at number 1 strictly because it had something that the others in the franchise didn't really have as much after this one. To me, Saw 1 contained the mystery aspect of the series the most.
Right.
It was more of a mystery before the gore became a selling point for the franchise. There's definitely gory elements in the first Saw, like, but you can tell, like, as the series went on, that became, like, the selling point. And that's why I get so much of the torture porn label thrown at it. Even though for me, like, I personally watched Saw because of how the story develops more so.
Oh, yeah. I closed my eyes for most of the gore anyway.
It's like all the gore and the torturous stuff. That's so secondary to my personal enjoyment or why I come to it.
Right.
And Saw, the first Saw, just has so much of that that mystery box element to it. And when you see, like, Adam and Gordon trying to piece all this stuff together and use their recollections to uncover more of the clues to figure out, like, how to escape this damn room, like, it's just, like, nothing else after that feels like that. And
right.
I think that's what's always going to separate the first Saw from the rest of it for me.
You know what else I think really helped with this first Saw and give it that separation from the others is because of the budget.
Yeah, it was
like
very
they
low.
Didn't have the budget to do the gore that the other movies had. Mm-hmm. So they had to focus more on story and like the mystery had to be things they could do small scale.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't have the funds to give you all the hardcore gore type stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think that helped.
That helped, yeah.
Because you're paying more attention to clues and dialogue and you're following the story without realizing that you've got to have blood and guts to help carry the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say they focus a little bit on, like, you know, some character development, but I was not a fan of Adam's acting. So there's that. But I know that was probably maybe also a decision because of budget. That's what I'm going with. They probably spent their whole budget just you having a friggin' old dude having Gordon.
Carrie Elwes, Danny Glover.
Like, that's their budget right there. But I think that's what else just stands it apart because once more money, I mean, they like double, they exponentially increased their budget between the first one and the next ones. so they could do more special effects wise, practical gore wise, and put some more attention to it. But I kind of appreciated having less of that. Because when it did show in the first Saw, like, it really meant something in the scene.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
It wasn't like, man, I really need somebody's head to blow off right now. Like, you know?
Yeah, like, I definitely feel like that's more of a, it's more, they're more conscious of it in, for marketing value right. in the later movies. Whereas in the first one, it was there strictly to service the narrative,
right?
What the story was ultimately trying to get across.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's that for me is what's always gonna separate the first Saw from the pack, is that it just, it was it's just the mystery element and just the allure of seeing Adam and Gordon like try to piece all of that together. It was just fun. It was like a, it was just a fun film.
It was.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed viewing that one, despite it being a like horror movie. Just when I think about my viewing experiences of all of this franchise, like the first viewing of Saw is the one that has the, it's most memorable to me.
Yeah.
Like, I could tell you where I was, when it happened, how I felt, my reacts. Like, I mean, because it was, you were so engrossed in it. Not that you're not engrossed in all the other ones, but they're, you know, they all, the rest of them felt so different to what the first one felt like. It felt like you were, like, in a basement watching this, like, underground horror film that people just scrape their dollars together to make, and they give you this right above amateur level horror film, but it was good.
Yeah.
And I just really enjoyed that element of it. Whereas the rest of them started to actually feel more like feature length films, theater mint films. Like, they felt like high production movies.
Yeah.
Whereas that first one, it's like you felt like you should be watching it like in some dingy, dark basement, and you probably pirated it somewhere. And like it feels so different just cinematically as well to me.
Yeah.
The tone of it just felt grungier and independent. And I loved that grit of it.
Yeah. And Saw kind of hit at a time where I was growing kind of bored of horror movies. I felt like they just kind of settled into being, and they settled into hitting, you know, the same particular beats. And I thought there was something immediately intriguing about following a character with a code. But, I mean, a corrupt-ass code, but a code nonetheless. Yeah. And it was just interesting. It's like this sick man who takes it upon himself to dispense justice in this, like, really warped way. I just thought it was just an interesting-ass idea for a horror movie. And, yeah, I think it's, to this day, it still kind of holds up to me.
It does. I mean, it's a franchise that I can clearly rewatch, because I was just sitting there and was like, hey, let's do a rewatch of Saw. I know it's not October yet, but we've got a lot of stuff to rewatch for our Halloween month. Let's start early. Let's get Saw out the way. And at the time, I didn't even realize there was a Saw X. So it actually worked out, because it also got the recent watch in too.
Yeah, I knew Saw X was out there, but I was reluctant to watch because I thought we were gonna have something on par with another Jigsaw situation.
Oh my gosh, and, yeah, that would have been terrible. But
I was pleasantly surprised.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Yes, sir.
Nope, I was gonna say I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my list. Just my thoughts on the franchise as a whole. I just want to add, in editing part one, I did forget to mention how laughably bad Gibson was in Saw 3D.
Oh my God.
We did not touch Gibson the last time we thought.
Friggin' Gibson was the worst. I think I hated him more than Adam.
He was horrible.
The absolute worst.
He was horrible. And, like, nothing about his story was interesting. Like, they try to, like, give you this insight between him and Hoffman, like, in certain flashbacks or just things, like, little things he would drop in the middle of certain scenes to give you a sense of the history between them. But it's too little, too late. Like, it's,
I agree.
It's like, you know, you're doing this movie with the understanding that this is, like, really the end of the series. And it's like, all of a sudden, we're supposed to care about the connection Hoffman has with this with this internal affairs cop.
Right, that we've never heard
that
of.
That we've never met. And they have this flashback with him, with like Hoffman saving his life or whatever. And it's supposed to just have so much resonance. But I'm like, Gibson's a totally new character. Why are we wasting our time?
Right,
with
and I, like, don't, I don't like know. Him.
And, yeah, and he's just...
He's so unlikable.
He's so unlikable, man.
It and just, you could tell they kind of wanted him as comic relief, but it didn't land.
Yeah, it was just awkward was all around. Weird. Everything with Gibson,
like,
was
he made
awkward.
It feel more scary movie-like at some time.
Dude,
I'm like...
His line delivery in certain scenes is just crazy.
Yeah, I think I... I have to give Adam a little more credit.
I was going to say, I think he's probably the worst actor this series has seen.
It was terrible.
Or, like, at least it's the worst performance, because I haven't seen much of that actor, but I think...
yeah, I don't know much
I
about
think I
actor.
Saw him in one other thing where he wasn't that damn bad. He's just...
Yeah, and...
It's the most awkward performance.
And he was
in the
always
series.
Eating.
Yeah. It's just weird. So, yeah, that was just one other thing I wanted to... I wanted to throw in there.
Yeah. That was a good call. Because
yeah,
most hated character.
Yeah,
Gibson.
I was editing part one. And I'm like, wait a minute. We completely ignored the Gibson thing.
Which is shocking because we both had so much to say while we were watching it. Yeah, so I'm glad you remembered that.
Yeah. So, yeah, but other than that, that's our list. That's our thoughts on the Saw franchise.
Yeah, so... That I think that was a great start to our Halloween month viewing, so we're going to keep the theme going.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned for our next chat where we'll be ranking the Scream movies. I'm excited for that conversation, too.
Me too.
I don't even think we have any rhyme or reason to, like, how we're choosing which franchises we're doing. It's just, it pops up, it's there, and we're like, hey, let's go ahead. And, yeah, so stay tuned for that one.
I hope we're a little more different on screen. We'll have to see. Because I'm surprised how much we kind of aligned on this Saw thing.
I know. We were actually a lot... I thought that we would have been further apart in this ranking.
I thought so, too. I mean, not necessarily with, like, the top two or three. Because I feel like, you know, one, two, and three is kind of like a neat trilogy within all of it, so, but everything else, I'm kind of surprised we were in such a lockstep.
Yeah, I agree. So yeah, stay tuned. We're almost done on that rewatch, and then we'll have that chat up for you soon.
Peace.